there is promise in the Word of God that He can keep us in the time of darkness. And this song is not exactly word for word, but it's taken from Psalm 91. So if you want to turn to Psalm 91, we're going to talk about how you are going to overcome in this time of terrible darkness. Okay? Let me say to you that before we came here, there was a boy that had a dream. And it was a dream about the Philippines. In fact, it's Brother Bert's grandson, but that doesn't matter who it was. And there were many, many aspects of the dream, but the part that I remember in particular is that there was a very evil, wicked force of darkness that is coming up against the land of the Philippines. If I recall, it was something that came from the south. So I don't know if that means a Muslim Islamic invasion or what. We know that that religion hates Christianity. They don't distinguish between a real Christian and a Catholic or Coptic or something that just says Christian by name. But they hate the name of Christ. And I know that if the Antichrist is able to use that spirit, they will use it to every extent that they can. So I don't know how the darkness is going to come upon the land of the Philippines, but I know that every nation on earth is going to come under a terrible darkness during this time of tribulation. Now, we're not going to be carried away, but God has made a hiding place for us. Do you believe that? He made a hiding place for Noah. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, so there's going to be things that are very much like Noah. Now, Noah was among the sons of God. All right, and we know that in the days of Noah, there were sons of God and there were daughters of men. Okay? Now, the word sons and daughters does not mean men and women. It's a spiritual term. Sons of God, little sisters, you can be sons of God. Amen? You can be daughters of men if you want to go and live like the world. Okay? Daughters of men mean, and it could mean church. The word, the feminine word in the Bible usually refers to church systems. So there were people that believed in God, daughters of men, and what happened in the days of Noah is the sons of God intermarried with the daughters of men. Do you remember the story in Noah? Genesis chapter 6. Okay? And it says that the offspring that they brought forth, the King James Word says giants. It says mighty men. It's not the best translation. A best translation I found that I believe is that they were bullies. Do you know what I mean by bullies? They were unruly children, rebellious, disobedient. And I'm telling you, brethren, it does not go well when sons of God marry daughters of men. It does not go well. The children, I mean, are going to be full of rebellion, full of wickedness. You do not want to bring forth children like that. Amen? Anyway, as in the days of Noah. Now, the sons of God, the true sons of God, Noah and his family, what were they doing when the rest of the world was going down, down, down into wickedness? And the imagination of their mind was evil and wicked constantly. What were the sons of God doing? They were doing two things. One, they were preaching righteousness. All right? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Second thing they were doing is they were building a vessel of deliverance. Noah, God said to Noah, yet 120 years I will give man. His days shall be 120 years. Now, what that meant was, I'm going to give you 120 years, Noah, to get that ark finished. And so he finished it in 120 years. But the sons of God were preparing a vessel of deliverance. Now, what should the sons of God be doing today? As we see and hear the word, God is saying today, I'm going to destroy all wickedness off the world. I'm not going to do it by a flood. I did that once. I'm going to do it in a different way, but I'm going to remove, completely remove wickedness from this world. How many of you believe that's going to happen? Amen. Come on, yes, yes, it's the Word of God. So what should the sons of God be doing? We should be building a vessel of deliverance. Now don't go to the lumber company and order a whole bunch of lumber and wood and say we're going to build an ark. That's not how we're going to build a vessel of deliverance. We're going to build a vessel of deliverance by preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We're going to say that the holy place, the most holy place, is the secret place of the Most High. All right? Here we have the tabernacle. Okay, you've seen this picture so many times. And here's the veil. And here is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, Noah was in the Ark. But it was a different kind of Ark. But this is an Ark. And the salvation that God has for us is we cannot remain out here in the outer court. And nor can we even remain here in the holy place. All right. What's in the outer court? You have the brazen altar, and the brazen altar speaks of what? New birth. It's where the blood is shed. All right. And the shedding of the blood in our salvation is, of course, the cross of Jesus Christ. We come to the cross. After we come to the cross, we come to the brazen laver. Okay? And the brazen laver, of course, is filled with water. And the brazen laver speaks of baptisms. Plural. Black baptisms. All right? First baptism in water. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. And baptism into Christ. And when we are baptized into Christ, then we are in the holy place. And the holy place speaks of the life in Christ. Okay? You have the table of showbread where we feast on the life of Christ. I said we can have the wedding feast of the Lamb here today. We can be feasting on Christ. All right? It has the golden lampstand. Don't call it a candlestick. Please. I know the King James calls it that. You look in the concordance, there is no such word in the original Greek or Hebrew that says candle. I know it's written in the Bible, in the King James Bible, but you look it up. There is no such thing. It's a lampstand. Lamps run on oil. These little candles, there's no oil in that candle. That's only paraffin. It does not flow. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The oil flows. The foolish virgins, what was their problem? The problem was not that they lacked a candle. They lacked oil. So their lamp was going out. Not their candle. Their lamp was going out. Okay? So, it's the life of the Spirit. And then they come to the... And I'm not going to get into all this today, but they come to the golden altar. The golden altar of incense. All right? Out here is where the flesh should be dealt with. You are buried with Christ. Here, the old nature, the flesh, buried. Flesh issues should be dealt with in the outer court. Now, this incense is the soul. You're offering your soul as a sweet savor before the Lord. And the high priest, he must offer this incense before he can go through the veil. Okay? Now, the abomination, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said that if you are in this place, prepare to flee when you see what? When you see the abomination of desolation come to the holy place. That means the wickedness of the devil has even come. We know he's been out here in this church, but he's even coming into this church to pollute. So when we see that abomination come into this church, we know there's only one more place to go, and that is in here. Now, we haven't gone through here yet, but there is a place prepared for God in this place. Now, let me take you back to Psalm 91, okay? Just so you know what God is talking about. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the mercy seat above the ark, what is the mercy seat? What does the mercy seat look like? The mercy seat is angels. One angel on each side with the wings. Angel over on this side, the wings that come together. And what this is a picture of is under the wings of the Lord. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? Now remember the children of Israel. They went through the wilderness. Hot, dry, no water, nothing, no food. 40 years, they were under what? Under the shadow of the Almighty. Without that shadow, that sun would have killed them all. How could all their cattle, their cows, their sheep, how could all those babies be in that terrible, terrible heat for 40 years and not die? They were under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? And this shadow under his wings is talking about this. That's why he made the angels like this. Solomon made it a little different in the temple. He made the angel touch one side, the wing touched the other side, another angel touched his wing and touched the other side. It was a much bigger place. Amen? But it was still under the shadow of his wings. All right? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You know, I saw the sister cooking rice out here today for 30 of us or however many we're eating. She had a big pile of rice. You know what I believe? Someday you're going to have 30 people to feed, and she's only going to have a little rice. And she's going to put it in the pot, and she and the brother are going to come, blessed be the Lord. And they're going to cook it, and they're going to feed 30 people. And they're going to feed 50 people. Come now. God did not do these things just once, but He did them to show us that He is well able to take care of us. If you come into the secret place of the Most High, you will be protected. If you stay out here in this church, you will not be protected. Do you know what it says in Revelation chapter 11? This church. Come now, let's read it. This is a church. This is a church that preaches only salvation and baptism. They do not preach the kingdom of God. They do not believe the kingdom of God. They do not live the kingdom of God. They live like the world. They pray like the world. They praise like the world. They dress like the world. They do everything like the world, but they say they are Jesus Christ. You cannot stay in this place. Come now. I'm going to just break off from Psalm 91. See, I've got too much to say. I need you for 3 or 4 more weeks. No, I know you're going to graduate. I won't keep you. You can graduate. But I am going to give you a gift, those that are graduating. I'm going to give you a gift of some of these CDs. But you'll have to have an MP3 player to play them. All right, Revelation chapter 11. You've probably heard me say this, and you're probably tired of hearing me say it. I'm sorry you're tired of hearing me say it, but I'm going to say it again. Because we need to know. We need to know this whole thing fits together perfectly. You do not need a rapture to have a secret place of the Most High where God will protect you from everything. Yeah. It's going to happen right here on earth in the midst of hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Satan is going to bring hell, but he will not be able to touch the sons of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Chapter 11. There was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship in." He said to measure this part right here. This is the temple and this is the altar that he said to measure. Measure it. In other words, the judgment must begin here at this house of God. Judgment must begin with us. Holy place church must be measured. A measurement by God is a judgment of God. It was a man who was given the reed. That means the word of God will bring judgment to you, and it will be a word that will be spoken by the mouth of a man. But it will be the Word of God. And you will examine yourself according to the Word that the man brings you. You will examine yourself and you will say, "Do I measure up?" That's what the measuring rod says. All right? But the court that is outside, this is what he's talking about. The court that is outside. This is the only outer court that there is. Out here is wickedness, darkness, the world, sin, hell. Out here. This is the house of God, but it is the outer court house of God. These are God's people. But you see what's going to happen to them. God says, "I want you to come in." If they refuse to come in, He is saying, "I cannot protect you." Hell is coming. And you must come in to me. If you don't come in, hell is coming anyway. Okay? So he said, "But the court that is outside the temple, leave it out. Measure it not. For it is given to the Gentiles." What does that mean? Given to the Gentiles. It's given to the world. The wicked men of the world. The dictators. Islam. The wickedness of the world is coming. It is given to the Gentiles and the holy city. These were God's holy people. The holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months, that's 3.5 years. There's no other way to cut it. It's 3.5 years. And then it says, "And I will give power to my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." How long is 1,260 days? 3.5 years. It's the same 3.5 years. The very same period of time. Another place it says 42 months. Amen? All right, now I won't go into that. I'm just telling you, that court is going to be destroyed, but there will be God's witnesses, and they won't be able to touch His witnesses. we can be part of that two witness company.
Amen.
We can be.
Amen.
Maybe I should share with you. I'll wait till Sister Medlin comes back. Oh, you're back. I want to share something, and I want you and Brother Edmar to judge what I'm going to say. Okay? You are elders of this school that I respect. I was going on my way home yesterday, sitting in the back of the van, and I was thinking about the students that are going to graduate. And I don't know where you're going to go when you graduate. I frankly do not believe that you're going to go and become pastors of churches right away. But what I see eventually is a scattering. God is going to take you as seed and He's going to sow you all over. He's going to scatter you. And you're going to be witnesses unto the Lord. I believe that the Lord is going to fill the Philippines with the likes of some of you. He's going to put you in far distant places all over the Philippines. Now you can judge my word, but that's what I believe the Lord was showing me. He's going to send you out with this word. This is a precious word, brethren. The old line church system, you're going to run into conflict with your old churches. You're going to run into trouble. You've been spoiled. You've been ruined. You've been ruined for the old house. You can't go there anymore. But God is going to use you mightily. And some of you are going to be scattered to other countries. I don't know for what reason. I see Filipino people being scattered all over the Mideast. I see them going to Dubai. I see them going to Arabia. I see them going to places I could never go. You can be sent to places I cannot go. They'd cut my head off right away if I showed up in some of those places because of what I preach. But you can be hidden under the radar, so to speak. I see you being scattered. You can judge what I'm saying. If I were a prophet, I'd say, "Thus saith the Lord." Sister?
Yeah. Can I speak in Bisaya? I will.
Please.
Brother Mark is saying, sa panahon ngani at alinhi, nakadungog ta sa pulong, nakadungog ta sa seed, nagawat na ang seed. Ngayon siya nga, dili ta makabalik sa atong church, but then makita nimo ang difference sa imong nadunggan karon og sa imong kinabuhi kaniadto. Though we are all naata sa God's people ta tanan. Naa katawhan pa sa Dios. But see, ang gisulti ni Brother Mark nga scattered ta. He sent out ta bisan asa, but God will protect us.
Amen.
God will preserve us for His own purpose.
Amen.
He preserved ta niya. Dili na gyud mapugngan na gamiton ta ni ining ulahing mga adlaw.
Amen.
The word that He shared us is sealed.
Amen.
O kana nga pulong, kana nga seed nga nabutang sa itong kasing-kasing, it will flourish.
Amen. The word that we are bringing you is not just an idle word for curiosity about theological information or what do they call the homiletic sermons. It's not for that. It's to prepare you for things that are coming upon this earth. Now, I don't know how long you need preparing. I've been preparing myself under this word for 30 years. How long do you need? Suppose it comes next year. Will you be prepared? I want you to have all that you need to know your place in God when this time comes. I want the Holy Spirit to call to your remembrance the things that you have heard, even if you weren't paying attention, even if you didn't write it down. The Holy Spirit, call it to your attention.
Hallelujah.
I want you to know Psalm 91. Let me read more in Psalm 91. Surely, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It doesn't matter what kind of pestilence comes upon this earth. Amen. He shall cover thee with his feathers.
Hallelujah.
This little chicken that runs around with her little ones. When the danger comes, she calls to the little ones and they come under her feathers.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And they're protected from the hawk that flies and to take the little ones. Amen. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler.
Amen.
You hear this?
Hallelujah.
His truth. Truth, truth, truth.
Amen.
Not the fables.
Amen.
Not these intoxicating doctrines. They will not save you.
Hallelujah.
The truth will save you, brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. Amen. Nor the arrow that flieth by day. The arrow is a missile. Even if Korea or China sends a missile, you will not be afraid.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The terror. Who are the terrorists? They're the rebels, the Muslims, the people that want to bring terror to your heart. You will not submit to terror.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. It doesn't matter if they bring bombs, explosions, what. You will not be afraid. You know, brethren, I could tell you what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki when the bombs went off in 1945. There were Christian, God's people that lived there. Amen?
Yeah.
And God preserved those people.
Hallelujah.
There was a church, a Pentecostal church in Japan in that day when that bomb went off. They had a pastor. They had people. And there was a meeting out of town. The pastor went with some of the men. Some of the other families had somebody else. They had a sickness out of town or something. There were a few that were left in town, and they were down inside of a basement. When the bomb went off, it did not hurt any of them. It was only the unredeemed people that were touched by that. I can tell you when they ran the airplanes into the Twin Towers in New York City. I have the report. I have it somewhere written. It was a church. They don't believe the same as I do, but they're spirit-filled people. They have some different doctrines, but they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And every one of them had a different story. We have a woman in our fellowship that her daughter lives down in that part of New York City. And she knows that there was a Chinese, I think. The area where the towers are is called Chinatown in New York City. If you say, I want to go to Chinatown, you go down into the lower part of Manhattan where these towers are. I lived in Manhattan for one summer. I don't like it, but I had to live there. And there was a Chinese Pentecostal church. And 22 of the people in that church worked in the towers. They had jobs. 22. Or is it 23? Let me say 23. All right, 23 of them had work in the towers. The morning of the attack where the towers fell, 23 of those people were sick.
Oh my God.
That morning. 22 of them stayed in bed. One of them was stubborn. He said, "No, I am sick, but I'm going to work anyway." He went out to get in his car to drive to work. His car wouldn't start.
Hallelujah.
All 23 of them were saved. Another story. The subway went directly underneath the tower that fell, the train, the subway. There's another story of Christians that were on that train. And the train forgot to stop, didn't stop at the tower. It went on to the next stop, and then boom, they fell. Come now. God has many ways.
Amen.
You need to have faith that God will find a way. All right, let me go on. The destruction that wasted at noonday. That was destruction that wasted at noonday. I saw it. I was watching television. I saw it actually happen. 10 o'clock in the morning. I saw the plane hit the tower. I saw the towers fall. I don't have a TV. I just happened to be where there was one that day. Amen. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come near you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Only with thine eyes will thou behold the reward of the wicked. You will only see it. That's all you're going to get. It won't get you. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Habitation means you're going to live in this place. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Your house. Amen. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now that's the lie that the devil tried to bring to Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
To make him test God. No, we're not going to use this to test God. Amen? Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Amen. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isaiah 26. Last two verses. Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people. Who's this for? Are you reading with me?
Yes.
Come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. What's he talking about? He's saying that there is a secret place for you to go to hide in him while this indignation, this terrible tribulation, this wrath of God is going on. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to harm the elect. No. To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. This is just a sample. This is just a sample of the promises that God gives us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I said that there is a secret coming also. Let's go to Malachi. Malachi, which is just before Matthew. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, is this a prophetic book? Malachi, is this a prophet?
Yeah.
Is this word a prophetic word? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Is this a pattern of God? Is this his pattern? That he sends a messenger before he comes. Is this a pattern of God?
Yes.
Okay. And did he do this before his first coming?
Yes.
And who was the messenger?
John
the Baptist. Okay. So before the coming of the Lord, he sent his messenger. All right. Now, if this is a prophetic pattern, we can expect before the second coming of the Lord that he will also send his messenger, right? But the messenger is not going to be a one-man messenger. It's going to be an Elijah company. Oh, I said Elijah. Well, Jesus called John the Baptist Elijah, didn't he? Come now, did he? He said, when the disciples asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he said to them, Elijah will come first. But I say unto you that Elijah is already come. And they understood that he spoke of John the Baptist. So Jesus called John the Baptist Elijah, didn't he? I can hear an amen, or you can tell me no, he didn't. Yes? Okay. Somebody one time said to me, Brother Mark, why are you always spiritualizing the Word of God? And I said, well, Jesus was doing it. What did he do? He spiritualized Elijah. And he said, John the Baptist is Elijah. Isn't that spiritualizing? In other words, he's saying this natural man, John the Baptist, was in the spirit of Elijah. And he said, Elijah is come, so he's acknowledging two Elijahs. The first was the original Elijah, you know, the man that knew Ahab and Jezebel, Mount Carmel. Then he's calling John the Baptist the second Elijah. But then he said, Elijah will come. So which one is going to come? John the Baptist or Elijah?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be us. It's going to be us. The sons of God. Now, Brother Mark, can you prove that? Yes, I can prove that. Because he said of John the Baptist, he said, this man is the greatest of those born of woman. Now, I had a mother too. I'm born of a woman. But he's talking about the natural man. The natural man, John the Baptist, was the greatest of the natural old order prophets. Are you following me? Do you remember the verse I'm talking about? And then he said, but the least of the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So he just said, John, as a man, as a natural man born of a woman, is the greatest. But, he said, the least of the kingdom is greater than that. That means there's a spiritual Elijah that is greater than John the Baptist. John was ministering under the old covenant, but he brought in the introduction to the new covenant. Okay? So, when we say Elijah is coming, we say, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come? All right, so let's go on here. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall come suddenly to his temple. Now, this is a prophetic word. Now remember, the word of God comes on three levels: natural, spiritual, and fullness. And the prophetic word also comes on different levels. So the prophetic word came on the natural level. There was a natural messenger that came. But there's a spiritual messenger coming, greater than he. He came to a natural temple suddenly, did he not? A natural temple, stone temple in Jerusalem. And what did he find in that temple? What was going on? Righteous activity, worship and praise? No. Money changing, corruption, and he threw them out. All right, now let's go a spiritual level. Let's take the New Testament definition of temple. What's the temple? There we go. We are the temple. Now he says that he will come suddenly to his temple. Yes, there is a secret sudden coming. And he's going to come suddenly to us. That means we are suddenly going to be changed in his likeness. Are we going to be ready for it? If we are living carelessly, where do we find an example of people living carelessly? The end time message of Jesus, Matthew 25. How about that? Let's read the story of men living carelessly. By the way, he's talking about ministers in Matthew 25. No, it's 24. I'm sorry, it's the last part of 24. It says here, who then is a faithful, verse 45, and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? He's talking about ministry now. Okay? He's talking about a faithful and wise servant. Not ruler, but servant. He's given him responsibility over his household. And the responsibility that the master has given this servant is to do what? To give them what?
Meat.
Meat means what? Food. What kind of food are we going to give you? Rice? That's not what he had in mind. Spiritual food. Word of life. Okay, so here's the servant now that has the responsibility over the household of God to give them spiritual life. Okay? Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. In other words, there's not a retirement plan here, is there? You're going to have to keep doing. Doing. Just keep doing it. Okay? Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. There's some kind of reward that the Lord is going to give if he finds you faithful when he comes. I don't know what that reward really means. I don't really care. All I know is if the Lord gives it, it'll be good. Amen. But here's the careless servant now. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, is this a definition of a man from the world? Or is a definition of a man in church? It's got to be a man in church. And Jesus calls him an evil servant. He's supposed to be a servant of God, but he's doing evil. And what's he doing? What is he doing evil? It says he shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Maybe not just with his hand, but with his mouth. Slapping them, slandering them. And eat and drink with the drunken. What is he doing? He's partaking of intoxicating doctrines and teaching. He's hanging out with people that are involved in the drunkenness of spirit. He might be doing it in the natural too, but I'll stick with a spiritual interpretation. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, that means cut him in half, okay, and appoint him his portion with hypocrites. How many of you want to be where the hypocrites are? It doesn't sound good, does it? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not a good place to be. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, back to Malachi. It says, but who may abide? I should finish. He shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is the messenger of the covenant? Jesus. Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. Jesus is the only one that can make a covenant with man. No antichrist can make a covenant with us. Brethren, don't believe the story about the antichrist making a covenant with Israel from the book of Daniel. That is not what it means. The devil is incapable of making a covenant. That covenant is the covenant of God, of the Messiah himself. He has made a covenant with man for the last 7 years of Daniel's 70th year. He has made a covenant that the fullness of Christ will be on the earth for 7 years. But he was cut off in the midst of the week. 3.5 years after Jesus began his ministry, he was cut off. But the last half, the 3.5 years, still have to be fulfilled. And God is going to have a company of people who will be walking this earth in the fullness of Christ and will fulfill the covenant for the last 3.5 years. They will have the power of Christ. They will be the two witnesses company of Revelation chapter 11. They will be the man-child company of Revelation chapter 12. They will be the first fruits company. They will be the Elijah company. Amen? And I can give you more words. I'm telling you, God has a place. You don't need to be raptured away. I want to be here in the battle. I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to be taken away. I want to fight the devil and I want to win. And I want to help bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, I have some other verses. Oh yes, I have them. What about the thief? What about the thief? Amen. Matthew 24:43. I want you to see the other side. I want to be fair about it. Matthew 24:43. This is after two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Listen. I can tell you from the Scripture exactly when the Lord will come. I can give you exactly. You want to write it down? It's a true prophecy. It will not be wrong. Here it is. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's when it's going to be. I don't want to be those that are not ready. It says, if the watch therefore, for ye know not the hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. What hour is the thief going to come to your house? You don't know. Suppose I knew what hour the thief would come. Suppose the thief would send me a little letter. Dear householder, please be aware that on March 12th at 2 o'clock in the morning, I will be coming to rob your house. What would you do if you knew that? You would be watching your house, wouldn't you? You'd probably get a gun. You'd get your nephews there. You'd get all your brothers, your brothers-in-law. You'd get your whole family, and they'd all be in the house. Maybe they'd have a gun or two. Waiting for the thief. In other words, you'd be ready. Oh, you'd get big, strong men to come and join with you. Big, strong, strong men. Amen? So, but what Jesus is saying is, I'm not going to tell you. See, there is a secret coming. He's going to come to His temple. And He's going to come into us. And the rest of the world is not going to know it happened right away. They won't know what happened until maybe they'll try to hurt one of us and they'll find that they can't do it. Or maybe some of us will say to the devil, no, in the name of Jesus, stop. And we'll find that we have that power to stop the devil. Or maybe a storm is coming and a group of people will say, no, you must stop. You will not destroy our homes. And the storm will stop. Jesus had that power. And He intends to give that power to His people. The question is, can He trust you with all that power? What would you do if you had all that power? What would you do if you had the power to heal anybody and everybody that came to you? Jesus had that power. What would you do? What would you do to the beggars out in the street that are running around with no feet, you know? They're in Butuan. We see them. What would you do? Would you just have compassion? Oh, let's heal all the beggars. Maybe that wouldn't be what God wants. You see, the problem is we haven't learned to listen to the Spirit of God yet, have we? We need to practice listening to what the Spirit of God says. We need to practice listening to what God wants when we praise.
Amen.
How does God want us to praise today? What does God want us to sing? What does God want us to preach? I came with another idea yesterday. I had a plan. When I asked you what you needed, God said, no, another plan. I don't mean that I'm fully walking by the Spirit. I have times that I don't walk by the Spirit. Okay? I'm a natural man too. But I'm saying there's coming a time when He enters in to His temple, when we enter in to the secret place of the Most High, we are going to be different. And the only way you can be... Jesus said, pray. Well, here we are, Matthew 20... where did He say pray? Pray that... Oh. Pray that ye be found worthy. Where is that? It's in one of these verses in Matthew 24. Pray that ye be found worthy to escape all these things. Amen. Anyway, verse 13. But he that shall... Did you find it? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure to the end. This is overcoming. Brethren, what is the message to the seven churches? Every church, what did he say at the end of the message to the church? He that overcometh will I give. And he had a different reward for everyone. He that overcometh will I give the white stone. He that overcometh will rule and reign with me. He that overcometh will be a pillar in the house of God. He that overcometh, he that overcometh. Brethren, the message, the outer court is not teaching the message of overcoming. They are not teaching it. They are teaching, get saved, get baptized. And then just let's boogie and have a good time. Or let's have prosperity. Let's all get rich and let's all have a Mercedes car. And come on, that's not the message of the kingdom of God, brethren. Okay, another verse of the thief. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. Same thing, verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house, it's the same thing that he's saying back there in Matthew, all right? Verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now the term day of the Lord is something that you ought to look up sometime. You young scholars, write that down, day of the Lord. And I want you to understand that the day of the Lord has a broad meaning. It doesn't just, it has many meanings. On the one hand, it means in a moment of time. But it doesn't just mean a 24-hour day. The day of the Lord could be this whole 3.5-year period of time, called the day of the Lord. Okay? It can be a long day, the day of the Lord. Okay? So Paul is saying that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Now, you see what I was talking about, the 3.5-year tribulation. Let's put 3.5 years here. Here it starts, and here it ends. It has a start, it has an end. A very clear, definite start and a clear, definite end. Now, from the last chapter of Revelation, the 20th chapter, I believe, you know that the last part of this is the resurrection. And this is what Paul was talking about in that first passage that we talked about in Thessalonians, not the last chapter, but the 20th chapter, all right? And it says here, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ. They had not received the mark in their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That means lived and reigned on this earth 1,000 years. Okay? And they're talking about the resurrection. The rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All right. So those who are not in Christ are not going to be resurrected at this time. This is when the parousia of the Lord comes. Oh, where am I reading now? Revelation 20, verse 5. So, it is quite clear from the 20th chapter of Revelation, okay, Satan is bound 1,000 years, and those who died in Christ are resurrected, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, but it says the rest of the dead, the wicked, they do not have a resurrection at this time. They get their resurrection out here 1,000 years later, and their resurrection is only to be cast into the lake of fire. That's it. That's all it's going to be. Resurrected out of. I'm getting my terms. Hades, and cast into Gehenna.
Hell.
Lake of fire. Out of hell into lake of fire. If you want the English words.
What do the people in the hell or in Hades before going to, are they still asleep?
Oh, they're not asleep. They're being tormented.
Okay.
There's no sleep in there.
They're
tormented, but they're going to be tormented worse in the lake of fire. Because they're going to have some kind of body torment too. They're going to have a resurrected body of corruption that is also going to feel the pain.
So, how about the people who are in Christ?
In Christ, yeah. They're going to have a resurrection. They're with Christ now. Their soul, their spirit, they're with Christ. But at the...
That's what they say in Abraham's bosom?
Oh, that's all done with. Abraham's bosom's all done.
All done. Okay.
Yeah, when Jesus resurrected, he cleaned out Abraham's bosom.
Okay.
He took it with him.
We are in Christ.
We're in Christ now. Yeah, there were two sections of hell.
Mm-hmm.
One side was the comfort section, and the other was the torment section. And there was a gulf between them where they could not pass back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But they could see one another. And the rich man could see Lazarus was being comforted.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose Lazarus could see where the rich man was. Okay? But Jesus led captivity captive, and he cleaned that out. That's not paradise. It's not paradise if you can look across the gulf and see the other people on the other side. He told the thief, "You're going to be with me in paradise." That day, he took them out of hell and took them
to Christ,
okay. To paradise. Yeah. All right, I got off the track. But I'm saying that the context of the end of this 3.5 years is resurrection. The parousia. The parousia is the time of the resurrection of the dead. It says he will bring all the saints with him. It will be the resurrection. So what I'm telling you is this passage in Thessalonians is talking about this time here. The one that we read about meet him in the air. It's talking about right here. If you want to go flying away to meet him in the air, okay, I don't know. But you're not going to be in the air very long. You're going to be coming right back here to this earth to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. You're not going off somewhere. Yes, you'll be lifted up. You'll have a great spiritual experience. I don't care if I fly or not. I don't expect I'm going to fly very far. But God is going to do something very marvelous to us at that time. Yes. We are going to have an enrapturing experience. Do you know what the word rapture really means? The real meaning of the word rapture. It means to have such a glorious spiritual experience of being in the presence of the Lord. That is the real meaning of rapture.
Same as caught up.
Caught up has a little different meaning. It means to be physically caught and taken. Rapture is what is experienced in a spiritual experience that you have. The word rapture is not in the Bible, by the way. It's an English word, but it's not in the Bible.
Because you have some experience.
Yeah, people have experiences that are just wonderful, and it's an enrapturous experience.
Yeah, they have experience, and same testimonies that they have, I have a special moment with the Lord.
Yes, that's an enrapturous experience.
It's nice to be there always, but my
mother used to sing an old hymn, and the words of this old hymn: "Oh, the soul thrilling rapture when my Jesus I shall see." The soul thrilling rapture is, and I think it was a very correct way to use it in that song. It's the thrill of the soul to meet Jesus face to face. That to me is a rapture.
Yeah, I know. It's some of us experience. We have some testimonies like those.
Yes.
Nice to be with Jesus.
Amen. But you stayed right here on earth.
Yeah. You wonder, oh, it's nice to be there.
All right. Now, I want to, I said 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 2, "For you know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." Now, this is not Parousia. This is 2064. It's not the word Parousia. It's just the coming. See? This is a different word. Right here. The Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Parousia is when every eye shall see Him, and He's going to stay. Okay? As a thief in the night. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now, brethren, students, I want you to go through this passage in your Bible. You take a little pen and underline. There are two words here. There's the word "us" and the word "they." Did you notice this? "They shall say," but "us." Notice the difference. It says, when they shall say, peace and safety, it will come upon them, and they shall not escape. So this is the unredeemed, the unexpected. "But brethren, ye are not in darkness, that day should take you as a thief." So it's you and them. All right? "Ye are all children of the light." That word is sons, actually. The literal word there is sons. You are all sons of light. He is talking to sons of God. Okay? "And the children of the day," or sons of the day, "and we are not of the night of darkness." They are in darkness. We are not of darkness. Okay? "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, Let us watch and be sober. Now that kind of sleep is spiritual sleep. I go to bed every night and I sleep. Okay? I'm not breaking the commandment here. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken, are drunken in the night. They and we, okay? But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, that's a very good passage. And by the way, chapter 5 comes immediately after chapter 4. Guess what? 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. It's 2 Peter. You knew I was in the wrong one, didn't you? What verse should we go to here? Let's start in verse 8. But brethren, be not ignorant of this thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Now you see, the day of the Lord could be talking about this thousand years too. Okay? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Here's the day of the Lord. The coming, the beginning of the day of the Lord. Here, the beginning of this 3.5 years. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, it isn't going to end that way, but it's going to begin that way. There's two comings. There's a secret coming into His temple, like a thief in the night. And then there's a coming where every eye shall see Him, the shout of the archangel, the blast of the trumpet, the last trump will sound, resurrection, graves opening up, dead in Christ coming out of the grave. Wow, what a day. Come now, that's not a thief. That's not a day. Everybody's going to know the next morning what happened. Amen?
Amen.
Graves all over opened up. People that were dead walking around. Shouts in the sky like lightning. Jesus said that the Son of Man will come as the lightning shineth from the east to the west. That fast. That bright. That sudden. Sudden. Amen. Amen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, just so that you don't believe that this is a nuclear bomb going off, this is spiritual language. Do you know how I can tell you it's spiritual language? It says the works will be burned up. How are you going to burn works? Let's build a fire, and you'll all bring your works and burn them. What are you going to bring? You can't bring your works and throw them on a fire and burn them up. This is spiritual language. When it says the heavens, when I said the other day that there is war in heaven, let me ask you, where is heaven? What heavens are we talking about? There's a spiritual heaven, brethren. There's a spiritual realm that the devil has had control of. His heaven is going to be on fire. He's going to be driven out of that heaven. He's going to be driven out of our souls.
Amen.
No more. War in heaven. Hallelujah. It says the heavens will be on, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That heavens pass away with a great noise, the words there are with a crash. I don't know whether you're going to hear the crash or what. Suppose you're sitting in your house and all of a sudden, I mean, you go outside. The heavens passed away. I mean, the whole, you know, Jesus could clean those heavens up with just one word. How did God deal with Heliel in heaven? I'm talking about the heaven, the heaven of heavens, the throne of God heavens. He was the angel. By the way, he was the devil, Heliel. His original name in Hebrew was Heliel. And you know what his job was in heaven? What?
Light bearer,
yes. But he was in charge of praise and worship. He was the worship leader. Now, wouldn't you think that Satan is an expert at music?
Yes.
Wouldn't you think that he would be an expert at corrupting music? And if you can see what he has done to the music of the world, he's been very good at it. And wouldn't you think that he would want to bring that very same thing into the house of God, abomination of desolation, and pollute it? Yes. He's very good at it. He's very good at using... See, in heaven, when he was pure, he used that leading of praise. It talks about the gift that he had of his vials. His voice was like instrument, powerful instrument that, when he began to praise, all of heaven heard, and all of heaven, all the angels joined with him, come around the throne of God, great is the Lord. He was very good at it. But when he fell, everything that was light, he went to dark. Everything that was pure, he went to corrupt. Brother DeCille used to say, and I believe it was true, that he saw that God was pure and light. He was the king of the kingdom of light, and he thought, well, there must be darkness. There must be no king of darkness. There must be no king of the other side. I will be the king of the other side, and I will win, and I will take over the light. But you see, he's going to fail. What I was saying is, when God saw this about the devil, Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. When his time came, God said, out. Like a bolt of lightning, he fell out of heaven. Now, I'm telling you, God has that same power today. He could clean up. All God would have to do is say, now, clean it up. Jesus had the power, but he didn't use it because he allowed Satan to stay here to test us. You have to overcome. This is why Satan is going to be released at the end of the 1,000 years. because there's going to be children born that have lived 1,000 years, have never know what temptation from Satan is. So God is going to let him loose a while to see if he can deceive some more people, if they'll fall for it. Everybody in heaven is going to be tested. Amen? They're going to know that you have overcome. All right, where was I? 2 Peter. Oh. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. By the way, that word elements, did you take chemistry, some of you, in school?
Yes.
Did they give you the chart of the elements? You know, oxygen, hydrogen, helium, you know, elements. That isn't what this word means. See, here's where you need your concordance. I'm telling you, but when I leave, you can look them all up. I'm going to give you the definition of this word elements as used in the Greek. It's stoichion, S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O-N. It's 4-7-4-7, and it comes from 4-7-4-8. So I'm going to go back to the root word, which is stoichio. Stoichion comes from stoichio. The number is 4-7-4-8. In the Greek. Now listen to this definition. To conform to a line as to keep rank or step, like a military march, orderly in arrangement, a serial of fundamental, elementary, and rudimentary. Fundamental lockstep. This is describing Satan's kingdom. The elements will melt. Here's Satan's kingdom. They're all lined up. You see that on television? Those poor guys in Korea. This little dictator. They're all lined up, goose-stepping in their march. This is a description of Satan's empire. He's got all the presidents of all the nations, all the governors, all the barangay leaders. How did I say that? He's got them all. They're all obeying his orders. You say, well, I'm going to run for office, and I'm going to change the way things are done. I'm going to bring the kingdom of God into our place. No, you're not. Maybe you can win. You'll never win the kingdom of God in that way. It will not work. There was a great man in America. He was a big preacher. He wanted to run for president. Didn't work. Even if he got in, Satan's empire is so strong. But what Peter is saying is all that rank and step, it's going to be dissolved. It's going to be annihilated. No more. No more. Never again. Melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein will be burned up. Wickedness. Wickedness is going to be removed from the earth. You say, well, how will I rule and reign? Can I be president? Can I be vice president? Can I be Secretary of Treasury? Maybe I can be Secretary of Education. Minister, what do you call him here? Secretary or Minister? What's Philippines? What's your term? Secretary, yeah. Secretary of... No. We're not going to have that system. Well, how am I going to rule? How am I going to reign? I found the verse. It talks about Jesus, and I don't remember where it was. It says that He shall rule in righteousness. The King. The King shall rule in righteousness. I think it's in Psalms that I found it. You know what? I could find it right here in my little word finder. Anyway, you know that there is such a verse. If you can find it, God bless you. But I found it the other day. How are we going to rule in righteousness? And I'm going to quit. Okay? I'm going to quit for today. Amen.